About 2 weeks
ago,
what happened? Yeah, it's already been 2 weeks. The feast ended, and we have since returned back to our routine lives. Back at work, back at school, back to do whatever we do throughout the coming months and year. In my last message, which I spoke about during the feast, I talked about the importance of continuing on, that we should take what we experienced during the feast and keep our heads up now that we are back. But right before the feast, we experience a type of excitement, which we always feel each year because we know what to expect at the feast. And for those first-timers out there who didn't know what to expect at the feast, I'm sure they were also just as excited. But we feel this every year. And it's a joyful occasion with like-minded brethren. It's a peaceful time. It's a break from our routine. And now that the feast has ended, have we slowly forgotten the good times we just experienced, drifting away little by little? You know, it's probably still fresh in our minds now, but let's say, what is it going to be like in a month from now, or 2 months from now? Do we think about it much? Are we once again wrapped up in our lives and constantly busy? Not to say that that is bad, but we must be careful where our priorities are, not to let go of the experiences we shared during the feast. Now, while we were at the feast, we didn't think or worry about the problems we faced back at home. We didn't worry about work. We didn't worry about, to a large extent, what was really going on in the world, what was happening around us. No, what we did was focus on the purpose of the feast. We were content with our surroundings, as if nothing else really mattered outside of where we were. Now, I'm not saying that nothing else mattered, but we had a different point of view as we celebrated the feast. Right before we are about to do something exciting, or we anticipate on it, there is a reason we have for acting in a particular way. A general desire or willingness within ourselves to do something, to prepare for something, to think about whatever it is that's making us feel that way. We have this sudden urge, this drive in us that gets us determined for something great that lies ahead of us. This feeling that we have, which we experienced right as the feast was approaching, which we experienced before something positive is about to take place, that is called motivation. And that is also the title of my message. Did we not have that feeling of motivation? Do we still have that feeling now that the feast is over and we're back? The feast ended 2 weeks ago. What have we been doing in the meantime, besides recovering from colds? Have we been motivated about anything since then? Perhaps. But have we also been spiritually motivated? Have you ever been caught in a riptide? For those of us who like to go swimming in the ocean, for those of us who can, who have an ocean, but a riptide. It's a strong current caused by a tidal flow in a confined area, such as inlets, and this causes a hazard to swimmers as they are being swept out to sea. And there is a way to get out of a riptide. Now, it is extremely difficult to swim against the current, to go against what the world has to offer, to get sidetracked with everyday temptations, like being in a riptide. The world distracts us, and it will continue to do so. We can get distracted very easily by the things that we are involved with in our lives. So, What do we need to do to be spiritually motivated amidst this busy life of ours? One way to get such motivation is the same thing we have heard a lot about during the feast, and it's something very simple to do, which doesn't consume a whole lot of our time. And whenever we need to do it, we can. And that's prayer. Prayer is extremely powerful because it brings forth a faith inside of us. Knowing that God is the only one that can make anything happen, and as much as we have a part to do in our belief, God will respond and will take action. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Familiar scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And this is a scripture I personally never get tired of reading because it means so much. When I read the scripture, I think about the physical needs in life as well as the desires and wishes that I have. So let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if this son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, verse 11, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now I know that there is a part to do. I know what my priorities are, that I do have to put God first over everything. And then will I be able to receive the things I ask for, as it says in Matthew 6:33. Now, when it comes to our spiritual needs, that we certainly must have, prayer is just as beneficial. We go through trials on a continual basis, and we do get sidetracked often. Now, what do we do when that happens? Notice James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 6. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. What we read here admonishes us to ask in faith without doubting, especially during times we need him the most, when our motivation begins to deteriorate. Also notice a page back, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We have to consider what Christ had to go through. We must also remember that there is a great witness around us, those who can see the things that we are doing. When it comes to God, everything that God has created can witness to his existence. Have we sometimes just taken the time, take notice of all the things that God has done for us, and admire all that he has made? Just though, knowing that, we should be willing to lay aside every weight and sin that easily ensnares us. Here we need to pray to God to show us what we need to change and fix in our lives. It is not only sin that can hinder us, but it's also people out there, or anything else that we are involved with that can do the same. There could be someone or something in our life that can prevent us from doing what God wants us to do. And if so, we need to fix that problem by reevaluating our relationships with others and or asking God for wisdom and guidance to make the right choices. Others need to understand that for us, God comes first over all things without compromising. When we have removed the things in our life that hinders us, it should be easier for us to run the race that is set before us. Running a race is no easy task because it can be exhausting and frustrating at times. But the goal here is to keep running, to keep going in the same path, not drifting off course, but going in the direction that God is leading us. There are times when fatigue sets in, and when we become weary, we have to remember what some of the apostles went through with persecution, what Christ went through. Those who endure until the end will be saved. What do we do to keep going? We need to be praying daily. We need to study and live for Him, for God that is, daily, by keeping His law. What is the purpose of it all if we don't do that? Look at what God did through Christ and what Christ did for us. Imagine what God can do for you and me if we let Him. There shouldn't be a reason why we wouldn't be motivated, especially since we have the gift from God to know all these things, to know that there is a special purpose for us as we live this temporary life, living to become perfect. And as I said many times before, we are being tested in our life to see if we will succeed. The anticipation we felt before the feast shouldn't stop when the feast is over, but should continue since we still anticipate what's ahead of us, to motivate us to finish the race.